What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday, where we talk about hot topics that affect your investing journey into short-term rental investing. Got myself, we got Josh, we got Jake behind the cameras and all the equipment. Mike, I don't know where Mike's at. You know, is Mike coming today or is Mike not coming today? All right, we'll find out if Mike's coming today. Mike should come today. We're talking about we're going to be talking a little bit about design and setup. So we're going to dive in, as always, an update on rates. We got rates to hold. We got some shout outs to make. We're going to talk about some Airbnb discounts that they're putting in that we're going to talk a little bit about. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the setup phase. Like this phase that we always and talk about, we haven't talked about it for a long time, but really the grind that is the setup phase. There's three major phases that we go through when buying a property and getting a short-term rental. It's the acquisition phase, that setup phase, and then ultimately the marketing phase. And so that setup phase is what we're going to cover today. And I think that it's pertinent because there's a lot of people right now thinking, okay, I still need to buy a property this year. I need to get that done before the end of the year. And I've got to save on my taxes and everything else, but I'm kind of waiting around for stuff. And we've been in the middle of a lot of setups. And so we will make sure that we talk a little bit about that. And so we'll go through that. We're going to talk about the late summer bookings that are trending way better than last year. Last year, late summer bookings kind of softened. This summer, late summer bookings are actually tracking significantly, had double digit ahead of last year. So some positive signs going into September. And so, but let's start just briefly with a shout out. We've got Greg Bennett launched a new property in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, on a river. Looks great. We will congrats on getting that one launched there, Greg. And property itself is really nice property set up, you know, very well. I would suggest, Greg, that you get some of those area photos. We talk about really highlighting how close you are to everything. And we're really highlighting the property itself really well. You got some kind of a lifestyle photo shoot going on in there. But at the end of the listing, I'd love to see how close you are. Areas like Broken Bow, you could be really spread out. You can be really close to the action. There's one road in and one road out. And so that traffic gets pretty backed up in that area. And so guests want to know, where's my proximity? So only suggestion I make there, always we say success leaves clues. We all love to shout out our Vodacy members' properties. If you're listening, go check those properties out in the show notes and see what people are doing that are operating at a very high level in this game. These are top 10% minimum properties that we're talking about and shouting out. So let's Fed, they held the rates. Wasn't much of a surprise. I think there was nine out of the nine voting, that there were six of them that voted to, was it nine or 12? Nine of them voted to hold, or six of them voted to hold, three voted to raise. And so they said, hey, listen, we're going to hold this. Kevin Warsh is doing a little bit different job when it comes to these announcements. He's not really, and he keeps saying, hey, I don't want you making decisions based on what I talk about. We're going to make decisions based on the data. And overall, he said, we still have a lot of, you know, a lot of things that we can do, a lot of tools we can do to get that inflation down. But there's a lot of economic data that is showing, you know, positive right now as well. So they held rates, which is kind of what we expected. And, you know, we want to see them go down. But all-time highs, the stock market really doesn't care what's going on in the rate rates, because we're getting all-time highs. S&P 500, I think, hit another all-time high. So if you got stocks right now and you're in the stock game, it's pretty exciting. Lots of run-ups, lots of all-time records being broke. It is earnings season in the stock game, and so in the equities game. And so there's you're seeing a lot of really good performance from some of the earnings reports that are coming out. For those of us in the real estate game, it's just kind of blah, right? We're like, okay, what's going on? Like, I want something to happen. Like, I want something to move. And sometimes those blah seasons are times when, like I talked about last week, that you can get some good up buying opportunities. And so we need to take advantage of that. But there is going to be a time when things change around a little bit, and it is going to be, and you know, where we, you know, when rates come down, I think the floodgates are going to open. Wow. And it's going to be pretty great to be in this game prior to that. And so think about that as we're talking through that. Really quickly, before we dive into kind of what I think is going to be our main topic today, which is going to be on that setup phase and really getting those properties ready, is Josh, you sent over, I'm going to come to you with this one. The Airbnb is quietly testing some app-only discounts that hosts cannot control. And so Airbnb started to expose two new discount options through some of the PMS property management software tools and channel manager integrations. One is a fixed 10% mobile app discount. Another is a 15% top rated guest discount for guests with at least a 4.8 rating and more than three reviews. Now, you said that guests can't control this, Josh, and I don't think I want you to clarify this, but my understanding is that the discount can't be controlled, but you can opt into those discounts, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, with that, you say this a good bit, Sean. Like, one, if you don't like the way Airbnb or VRBO or booking.com does stuff, don't play with them. Right. But we rely on them. And so if we want to not play in their sandbox, we've got to build our own book of business. And that's part of our whole marketing phase. That's why it's last. Right. But we need to make sure we can sell to the consumer as is. With that being said, so essentially there are some rates that are mobile only. There are some discounts you can offer where basically, you know, you offer a 15% discount to highly rated guests. If your property is optimized and you're getting bookings and you're at the top of the market, I don't know why you would initiate this discount. Maybe in the off season, right? But at the same point where your margin is so much worse in that part of the season, I think this may be something more for the middle of the market, more towards the lower end of the market, to where maybe they don't have the design. They don't have the consumer, the guest experience to compete with. And so maybe you're still playing a pricing game. Personally, for us, we would never initiate this. I think if we have InstaBook turned on for these guests already, if someone has a lower score than that, we typically will look at their profile and 9 times out of 10, we're probably going to decline them. You know, if you have a score, you know, if you've had a guest review with, or especially with more than one maybe is off, but if we see multiple times where cleanliness doesn't check out on time, we'd rather not have you with us, right? But I do think when you look at that and you kind of read into the notes, so kind of diving through it, is like you're using host funded. You're the one losing this money to make their app more competitive, basically to make their guests or their consumer buy on their platform. Right. So again, if you're at the top of the market and you're dominating, your calendar's full and you're 80% occupied, 90% occupied, I don't know why you would turn this on. I am an admin and moderator, and I'm in a lot of different, you know, these big Facebook groups that are out there, and there's a different level of performer, right? And you have the top of the funnel. They're not talking about this. This isn't on their radar. Those who are getting squeezed, those who aren't standing out and able to convert on the OTAs, this is my lifeline. This is my lifeline. All it is just scraping bookings and costing you money out of your pocket. If you need this discount to get conversion, I would maybe look at the actual business itself. I 100% agree.
This comes up with us recently. They started doing this, and Airbnb offers like kind of audits on your listing and your performance, and they give you suggestions on things to change. Well, big surprise that these are suggestions that they're starting to pass out, right? And say, hey, listen, why don't you give this discount? Why don't you give this discount? And our Vodacy members come to me and the coaching, you know, group, and they on our coaching calls, and they say, hey, what do you think about this? This was two of our five recommended things that we should do. And my recommendation is, why? Why would you do that? You're already, you know, in this case, they were a 3% property. They were a top 3% in their market. And there's no reason to do that, in my opinion. You're exactly right. All you're doing is giving yourself a haircut that you don't need to give yourself in these cases. You don't, like, we know the consumer is like the discounts and the price is like five or six on the consumer's list of what they actually care about when they're booking a property. It's not even, and so unless you are having to do this, now to your point, there are people in that middle or bottom of the market, they're the ones that can't afford to do this. And they're thinking, I need to do this in order to get it. Again, that becomes such a race to the bottom game to play that they can't afford to do it. They feel like they have to because they don't have anything else to stand on. And ultimately, they just lose more money, and it's a race to the bottom. It's you know, that middle is just where you go get slaughtered, right? And so, it is, you know, that's where I call it the slaughter of the short-term rental lambs, right? It's like all these people following the same advice that they just absolutely lead themselves to the slaughter. This is one of those things that I think is going to be the same thing The top properties don't need it. The middle properties and bottom properties think they need it. They put it on there. They're already not making money. They think it's going to help them. They have to increase their business by an extra 15% just to break even on that discount, right? And so they have to increase their revenue by 15% just to have a break even. And this isn't going to be their savior. This is not going to be the lifeline that gets them that extra 15%. They need to look in the mirror and say, what do I have to offer? And why are consumers not choosing me and not choosing to spend more money with me? And answering that question is what you should be doing, not saying, how can I kind of game the algorithm or put on these discounts that Airbnb says is going to give me a boost in the algorithm. At the end of the day, Airbnb wants to make money on their platform. They want to make money with our properties, and they're going to support and promote the best properties that get booked and that have high customer service ratings, which is 5-star reviews, high review rates, right? So they don't want to deal with customer service issues, and they want to get properties that book. It's our job to get the consumer to pick our property above and beyond everybody else's. And I promise you, the discount is not going to win the game. And so it's saying, okay, like, look past this. And I agree, we still have the opportunity to opt into this. You don't get to say, hey, I'm going to only discount on, you know, shoulder seasons or weekdays. I'm not going to discount on weekends. The fact that you don't have that ability to do that is another reason not to, down the list of a whole bunch of other better reasons not to do this. And where you should be focusing your attention is, how am I going to give the consumer a better reason to book my property than somebody else's? And that's where that conversation starts. It's not gaming the algorithm. I get, you know, this, we've been, since I've been doing this, you know, for the last 10 years of Airbnb being around, and now I guess 20 years, but we've really been using Airbnb as a major platform for probably the last 10 to 15 years. And there's always been, do this in the algorithm, it boosts you in the algorithm, right? Where there's always algorithm talk of how to get a higher ranking. At the end of the day, it's all a bunch of bullshit. It doesn't matter. Like, you have two things you need to worry about. One, will people book my property? Am I giving them a reason to book me above and beyond everybody else's? It has nothing to do with the algorithm, but it's going to give you the biggest driver in the algorithm ranking. Because if the consumer is saying, hey, I like Sean's property and I'm willing to pay a lot of money for Sean's property and I keep booking Sean's property, guess what Airbnb's algorithm is going to say? Holy crap, we make a lot of money on Sean's property, so I'm going to put it at the front of the list, right? Because it has a high conversion ratio. It has high click-through ratio. All those things that matter on actually making them money. Second, they do care about our reviews. It's why when you get a bad review, you tank in your exposure. You go from page 1 to page 6 overnight, right? Because they don't want to deal with issues any more than we do. And if, like, I might have something that books really well, but if I don't deliver a great experience, all of a sudden Airbnb, if I start getting bad reviews, even one bad review, then all of a sudden they're saying, okay, I'm not playing this game. I've got other properties we can make money with, and I don't have to have calls to my customer service department, and I don't have to have some of our guests calling us up and saying, hey, I don't like Sean's property. What are you going to do about it? They don't want to deal with that. And so they're doing is saying, do I make money on your property? Two, do you deliver a great experience where I don't have to deal with any customer service issues? If I check those two boxes, I'm good. And I'm going to make money and I'm going to get ranked. I don't care about anything else in the algorithm. And all of you that sit in there and talk about how to boost the algorithm by fiddling around with your photos and fiddling around with your headlines and putting your discounts on, all you're doing is looking for talking points. And I don't care. I'll talk to anybody about this. I talk on stages about this all the time. And I know it's a contrarian viewpoint, but at the end of the day, you have to give the consumer a reason to book you above and beyond everybody else. Do we mess around with our photos? Absolutely. Why? Because we try to find the photos that convert the best, not because I'm trying to mess around and get a boost on the algorithm because they want to see an active host, if you will, that I've heard that a million times. They don't care. They care if they make money and they care if you deliver an amazing experience, period. Same thing that the consumer cares about. I have to give the consumer justification for making the decision to book my property. It's got to be different. It's got to be unique. It's got to be personalized. It's got to be better than what they can find everywhere else. If it's the same, then all of a sudden I'm a commodity and the consumer can't tell me the difference between me and my neighbor's property or everybody else in the marketplace. And then I have to put discounts on. It becomes a pricing game, and that's not the game you want to play. So I know that's long-winded. At the end of the day, that is what, in my opinion, is these things don't matter on top properties. And I don't think that they will matter. You're just giving yourself an unnecessary haircut. Mike, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I completely agree with everything you're saying, of course. And this all comes back down to the thing that we're standing on the soapbox with 24/7, which is if you're competing on price, you've already lost. If you're competing on price, you're racing to the bottom. If you're competing on price, you are not the first choice. So our perspective on this is it's not a matter of necessarily what do I have to do to make more money? What do I have to do to gain more occupancy? Our perspective is what do we have to do to set up a property that stimulates an emotional response of I have to book this before it's gone because I can't believe this property is still available.
Right.
And when you're able to stimulate that response, price becomes a natural thing that goes to the top. Occupancy becomes a natural thing that goes to the top. Five-star reviews, which as I refer to as review currency, because it is what you spend in the open marketplace, goes to the top. Yeah. And then your listing goes to the top, right? It all stems around. If you're focused on money, then you're going to have money problems, right? It's kind of like that saying, winners focus on winning and losers focus on winners,
yep.
Right? What we're focusing on is winning. And all of this other stuff comes with that. And so when I hear of tools like this coming out, it sounds like a college kid getting in credit card debt to me. It's like you're having a problem and now you're just making the problem worse
right.
by making less money yeah. and doing nothing to increase occupancy. Like you pointed out, you got to raise your occupancy rates by X percent to justify the discount you're giving on this when you're already hurting. And if you're not hurting, why would you do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think it's a gimmick that a lot of people will do because Airbnb wants to make money and it's going to work.
Like Josh said, this is a host funded promotion for all the useful idiots out there that are going to do the heavy lifting for Airbnb and make them more money instead exactly. of us. It's crazy. Like to me, this is just a bad move.
I'm going to piggyback on something Mike said real quick. So, you want to invoke to where I have to book this place where somebody else does. Airbnb knows this. You know why? When you find a good listing, guess what it says?
Yeah.
There's a little diamond to the side of it. And it says rare find. This place is normally booked. Basically it's saying, hey, we're putting this in front of you because right. there's a cancellation. Right. We know this property is going to book. We're going to put it in front of you because we want you to go ahead and book the property.
Right.
Right. When these discounts, what it's doing is saying, hey, your property really doesn't book. So like we believe you still want to make money off of you. So why don't you just give yourself a 15% haircut so we can make some more money? Thank you. Have a good day. Right. And I mean, it's like,
you think they would rather sell
and now you're 15% property more
that's at
poor.
The top of the market,
right.
And it's mine making the maximum amount of dollars right. or property that's doing poorly and now giving 15% off of that.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're always going to push the top performer to the top. So the key to this game
right.
is knowing how to structure the property to create the results, not focus on the results and spite the property.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Let's move on. Next topic, 2026 late summer bookings better than 2025. Key Data's latest U.S. report shows that September is pacing 13% ahead on occupancy and 11% ahead on nightly rate versus last year. You combine the two of those, it's a massive increase in September from last year. So going from that softness that we saw late summer last year into outperformance for 2026. So we're seeing nightly rates up year over year in every single month. According to Key Data's chart, with September the furthest ahead on nightly rates at 11%. So that late summer surge we're seeing is real. 7 of the 8 U.S. regions tracked raised rates in Q2, driving the most of the revenue gains in those 7 of 8. Airbnb captured 51% of the U.S. reservations and 43% of revenue in Q2, up from 47% of reservations and 36% of revenue a year earlier. So Airbnb is growing and they're capturing more and more of those gains, excuse me, the gains year over year. But those are massive gains for us in the game saying, hey, this is shaping up to be, kind of an extended peak season. It's nice when we can extend into September, October. Obviously, we're looking at those September bookings being up significantly But that's just, again, it's just a testament to where we say the consumer's at. The consumer is saying this is mainstream now. We are willing to spend our money here, and we just continue to talk about this stuff. You know, we talk about how blah the real estate market is in general. We talk about how hot the stock market is. The short-term rental market just kind of feels like the stock market a little bit. Every time we turn around, there's new year-over-year gains. There's new records being made as far as money being spent. I get really frustrated every single week, like literally every week for the last 2 years. I have coaching calls and a property manager's telling owners that their performance is down, and they're saying, excuse me, don't worry about your performance. You're doing better than most. The market's just down. And I say, okay, well, let's look at it. Let's see how it looks. And we pull up the numbers, you know, and we look at it and we say, okay, show me where the market's down. Like one of the markets we were just looking at, it's at an all-time high. Their year-over-year performance is higher than the last 4 years that we looked at were higher year-over-year than every single one of those 4 years. And their specific area, their specific bedroom count is higher. And so I'm saying, okay, where does that show? Because property managers seem to be regurgitating this same information because consumers are buying it. Investors are buying it because we read the news and we hear how bad the economy is and everything else. So we're like when I talk to our members, some of them come to me and they're like, you know, I guess it is what it is. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not there, right? Like do what it takes to succeed. And so we're seeing these year-over-year gains across the board, and it's the narrative that people are being told is not the data and the reality that we're seeing. And those members that are doing what it takes to operate toward the top, we've got some amazing conversations coming up on my Friday episodes. When you join us on our Friday episode instead of our Wednesday, which is our Experts Corner, talking about a lot of these members that were in that saying that same thing. And then we say, okay, let's make these adjustments. Let's do what it takes to succeed. Like, I'm not going to give you the pass of saying that's just the market. Like, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to tell you, nope, you're doing everything you need to do. It's real easy for me to say that and just write it out. You're going to be fine. Long-term, it's a better investment. Cause that's what they come to me and say, hey, listen, I got the tax savings. It's, excuse me, it's still paying for itself. And I'm, you know, it's still an okay investment. And how easy would it be for me to say, yeah, you know, write it out. Things are going to change. Things are going to get better. And instead I say, no, you're wrong. They're wrong. Don't give yourself that excuse to say it's okay to be mediocre. And we're seeing this in the numbers all the time. And the second quarter numbers just came out and we're seeing these year over year gains that look, I mean, really, really promising. And so you've got to do what it takes to go get your unfair share of that business because the consumer's saying it's there. Here's my money. Go take it. But if you're not going to do what it takes to get their money, they're going to go somewhere else. Go to the person that is going to give them reason to take their money. And so, you know, Josh, you're seeing a lot of these numbers as well. It's almost across the board in these markets. And it's, you know, you talk to a lot of our members as well, inside of our group on the coaching side, and you hear that same narrative. And it's really hard it's really important for us to make sure that we tell them, hey, you got to look in the mirror and do some of those harder things that other people are not willing to do to put yourself in a position. And we see every single day the results of that. And so we get pretty, you know, convicted on what it takes to succeed in this game. Doesn't mean it's easy, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But when it comes to the actual numbers that are out there and the revenue that's out there and the performance that some people are experiencing, it's it's exciting to say, hey, listen, I can go in and get my unfair share of that business, because most people, frankly, are not willing to do it. And they're willing to buy into that narrative that it's okay to just be mediocre. And that gives us this, like, you can walk into the top 10% of almost any market right now.
Yeah, you know, think about, and I'll frame it up. We are in what's being, you know, termed a K-shaped economy. right? If you're above a certain level, you're seeing trajectory. And the further above that level you are, the more wild that trajectory is. The more you're in the middle, you're seeing stagnation or lowering, right? What a lot of PMs see is this, and we can see this. We can use AirDNA, right? We can pull up by pricing tier. We can see year over year in these markets that are a healthy market is the consumers continuing to spend more, right? There's more money being spent in the market. We're seeing that the luxury and upscale are massively rocketing further and further away. And we're seeing that the RevPAR, the revenue per available rental, is going down as more properties come online, even though more money is being spent. And for those that are in the middle or on the bottom side, they're getting squeezed. And yes, if you're in the 50th percentile, and like, I made less money than last year, you probably did. But if you're above that number, you know what I mean, you're having some wild times. And it's nice up here at the top, right? But also, we talk about this a good bit for the management side. And it's really important here that people understand, regardless of what their rates are, regardless of how many properties they run, if you have a top 1% property and you have a 50th percentile manager, guess what that property operates at?
Yeah.
At the 50th yeah. percentile, because you're going to rise or fall to the level of who's delivering that guest experience, period. A good management partner can lift a lower property, but it cannot work the other way around. I say that a lot of times because we see people that sign with the cheapest guy or that, mm-hmm. oh, he was really nice, or we didn't want to lose the previous listings. It had 50 reviews, right? You can get that in a year. Right. And if, but you're how much are you losing being in that squeeze portion? I want to know, is my manager who's running my property, what property do they run and where are they operating? Yeah,
100%. The management are in the middle is of the not market, something during that setup phase. That is the management phase, right? Setup and management. That's the phase we're talking about. And it, you're exactly right. A good manager can lift a mediocre property to a certain point. A mediocre property manager or a bad property manager will absolutely tank a really good property. Right. And so it's not that there's you will not have a great property that you invested in. You did everything we talk about on the setup. We do everything that you needed to do as an investor to put yourself in a position to succeed. You picked the wrong delivery mechanism, which is your property manager. It's a massive problem. We're dealing with it right now. Like, and this is a property manager we've worked with. This is a property manager. I'm not naming names, but this is a property manager that we expect a lot more from. We have a top property. We're going through our white glove. We go in, we show up, and it's horrible. It's not cleaned ready for us. It's not, we're like, what is going on? Sometimes you got to check those property managers, even the ones that come highly recommended or did have a good reputation. Sometimes maybe they just missed, but it's something that we look at very, very closely. And I was just right before we hit record, I told Josh, dude, pull it. Like if we have to pull it, pull it. I don't care. Like they manage some of my properties and they manage a lot of our members' properties that operate at a very high level. So this is either a one-time miss and we fix it. But if we're starting to get complacent and we're starting to let things slide, we're out, right? Because I know that I cannot perform at a high level with a mediocre property manager, and they start getting complacent and they start getting to the point where they're not going to do what it takes to make sure that the delivery is at a very, very high level, then we'll cut bait instantly. I mean, it's not even something, because I know that my performance is going to, it's going to cost me a ton of money as an investor. I always tell people, it's not my property manager's job to be this amazing marketer. It's not my property manager's job to go take a mediocre property and outperform the market. Properties are going to perform exactly how I set them up to perform as an investor. But I'm going to spend a lot of money on these properties. I'm going to spend a lot of money buying them. I'm going to spend a lot of money on furnishing them, setting them up, making sure I've got the right amenities. Sometimes we do full-on landscaping, resort-style backyards. That's a lot of capital that we are putting into these properties to perform at a high level. That property manager's job is to take that great asset that we just invested a ton in and making sure that that guest has an amazing experience of the delivery. It's got to be absolutely sparkling clean. They've got to communicate at a high level. They've got to make sure that the guest has all the essentials in there. And if something goes wrong, they're on it instantly, right? And so that delivery has to be at a high level. If that delivery starts to slip, we are out and we're instantly trying to find somebody else, right? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. An add-on to that from the design perspective is I meet with people all the time and we're going through exactly what we're going to do with a property, especially when we're going into a market, which is kind of rare these days, where we haven't done a property before. Okay. And used to be when we were going into more markets where we were never before, the property managers would be very resistant to the level of design and execution that we were coming in with. And I would have clients tell me all the time, oh, the property manager doesn't want throw pillows on the bed. Property manager doesn't want to put that blanket, that throw blanket. So the property manager doesn't want to have those plants. Property manager doesn't want, property manager doesn't want. And I'm like, man, you've got the wrong property manager. Because all of these things that we're designing to do are going to make you have extraordinary photographs. But if your property manager is okay with having extraordinary photographs and then hiding all of that stuff because they want to maintain it, that should be a red flag that you've got the wrong property manager. If your property manager is pushing back to you on all the ways that you're trying to differentiate yourself in the market, that should be a red flag to you. What I've learned about property managers, especially the big conglomeration firms, is that they try to operate their properties like a hotel business. When you think of a hotel, all the rooms are effectively designed the same. Why? So that if I walk into one room and someone was just in there smoking their brains out and I'm allergic to cigarette smoke and I booked a non-smoking room and I get in my room and I go, oh, this is horrible. And I go down to the front desk and say, I walked into my room, it smelled like smoke. They go, no problem. We've got another identical room just like this right down the hall that you can go to. You'll never know you're missing out on anything because they're all the same. I have found that property managers, especially when they're managing lots of properties, try to, it's almost like it happens accidentally, but they try to get all their properties so much the same that if they have a problem with one, they can pivot to another, or they can say, oh, that one's booked, but I've got this one. It's almost the same. No problem. When you're in that kind of situation, you're back to competing, right? I'm looking for property managers that don't want to compete. I'm looking for property managers that want to dominate, the ones that take the way that we set a house up and go, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And by the way, those same property managers used to wonder, oh, this is too much, this is too much. The moment we finished it, they're asking for our phone number going, how can we do this with all the rest of our properties? But if they're not Vodacy members, they don't understand the return they're going to get to it. So their homeowners don't even want to invest in it because they don't know what they don't know. So the property management is everything. Your review currency is everything. And I tell people all the time, I can get you there, but the property manager takes you across the finish line.
It's so true. We talk about it all the time. And I have a saying that I say, it's the Achilles heel of short-term rental investing is property management, because it is so critical. I can do so many things as an investor. Unless I am managing my own property, I have to hand that delivery off to somebody else. And one, it's my largest expense. Two, it is make or break on my property, so that relationship is either worth their weight in gold or it's an absolute nightmare. And it takes that property to either, hey, listen, this is going to perform the way it's supposed to, but you're right, Mike. If they can't get it to the finish line, man, we have to pivot really, really quick. And it is really important to keep talking about that. I'm glad this topic came up even right here, is that because when you look online, as investors, and you look there, you'll see if you're interested in short-term rentals, the algorithm is feeding you all the short-term rental gurus and coaches and everything else out there. Many of them are selling a business opportunity to people who want to get into short-term rental game, and maybe they're not the investors, and they invest and start property management companies, co-hosting companies, right? And so there is a lot of people getting into this game. Doesn't mean, so many of these markets, you have a lot of options, and most people shop by price. And I'm telling you, that is absolutely not the way to shop. I'll tell you the number one way to shop for a property manager is anybody that you're interviewing, find out who they are, and then go look at their portfolio and see where their properties fall. If they're a top property manager, they're going to have top properties. If they're a mediocre property manager, they're going to have mediocre properties. And so if the majority, and they're going to have kind of a like, like property portfolio, if you will. If they, you know, they naturally are going to collect and have a portfolio of similar type of properties, similar type of performance. And so, you know, if you don't know who you want to interview, just go to your market, pull up AirDNA, look at top properties, and go to the top 10% of the properties and start paying attention to who's managing all the top properties. And we go there, right? That's where we start. And because they're used to being at the top. They're used to being the best, right? I used to play basketball, college basketball, and I get recruited and I talk to coaches. And, you know, coaches in sports notoriously will not recruit off of losing teams. You could be the best player on a losing team and coaches don't want to recruit you because you're used to losing. And so that's a very common thing in sports. And it's no different than anything else in business or for property managers. Go find the ones that are winning and put them on your team. And so if we could give you any like little short piece of advice, that's what it would be. If you've already got one that you're thinking about, or maybe you have one and you're struggling and you're like, well, maybe it's my delivery. Maybe it's what we're doing on the back end. And you don't see that directly sometimes because you're a little bit removed from it if you're not managing your own property. Go look at what that delivery looks like. And so we'll move on to the setup phase. Many, many, many of you are listening. Many people that are in this game, thinking about getting into the game, they're thinking, okay, now we're in the second half of the year. I need to start thinking about getting that property, getting it set up, getting it in service by the end of the year so I can take those big tax savings. I can, you know, I'm going to have a big tax gain this year, whatever it is, and I need to get a short-term rental. And I start thinking about it right now. And I start thinking about, and usually it's the tax people that are thinking, that's one of the drivers is the big tax savings that short-term rentals offer. And with our bonus depreciation and everything else. So we start getting all these calls right now. And everybody's like, yeah, I'm starting to think about it. I'm probably going to make a move in the next month or two to really start diving in and looking at properties. That is you, all of you that are in that boat right now, your back is already against the wall. Your back, you don't realize how much goes into the setup phase. Like I always talk about the acquisition phase being feeling like kind of a marathon. You're just kind of going through, you're looking at a lot of properties, you're saying no to a lot of properties. We're looking at numbers. It doesn't, especially in the real estate market right now. We're not looking at actually that many. Sometimes we're just running down the road and we don't even see properties. You know, we keep running down the road and we're like, okay, I'm at mile marker six and you know, I haven't really seen a water station for a while. Like, when am I going to see another one? And we just trying to find that right property, but it's kind of a slow, monotonous process of really underwriting, finding the deal. Once you find the deal, then it's this sprint, but it's not a 100-meter sprint. It's like the 800-meter sprint, right? Where you're like, okay, I'm about ready to die after it. It used to be a distance race, and now I've got to sprint the whole damn time. And it's gonna still be fairly short-lived, but short-lived being a 3 to 4 month process. And that 3 to 4 month process, there's a lot going on. There's project management, there's decisions to be made, there's all these different things going in to set these properties up correctly. And understand before I go into all this, understand I'm speaking to the people who actually want to win at this game and actually want to compete in the top of the markets. You can go buy a property and you can get your tax savings and you can go make justification that I got a really nice return this year because I had a huge tax savings and I bought a really mediocre property. But next year, you're going to be calling us up bitching about the performance because you're losing money every single month, right? So I'm talking to and then we're going to have to go through this process with you after you already own the property. And some of you are in that situation, but that's another conversation. At some point, if you want to operate at the top of the market, this setup phase has to be addressed. Setting the property up, choosing a target audience, setting the property up to deliver a unique experience, making sure that it's different than what else is available out there, making sure that it's personalized to your target audience, it's unique compared to the competition, and all of those different things, and then making sure I've got the management in place to deliver that every time. That is what we call that setup and management phase. And it's a 3 to 4 month process, really on the quick side. It can be even longer than that if you've got any sort of construction going on. Maybe you're adding a pool, maybe you're doing some remodel, some of that stuff. That's going to extend it to probably six to seven months, depending on the depth of the construction. And people don't realize how many levers there are. And you're starting to see a lot of turnkey options out there, right? Hey, you go buy a turnkey property. We resisted turnkey for a long time because we said, hey, listen, we can hand you that Ferrari, but if you've never driven a sports car or a race car, you're going to crash it, right? And so we've always resisted that. And so we said, hey, listen, you don't have the support. So we started doing what we say, kind of the hybrid approach where we're saying, we're going to come in and do it for you. you're going to be part of that process. We're going to keep you informed in that process. And you're going to kind of walk through that with us. You're going to, so that you are participating in it, but we're really going to, you know, we're your owner's rep, if you will. And then you've got long-term support with us in our, inside of our Vadis Empire Club and community. We started doing that. What still is shocking to me and Josh and Mike, every time we go through one of these, is how much goes on. And it is, it's like, holy crap, there are so many things that are happening on this setup phase. And I wanted to talk a little bit about it from not only the project management side, the design side, getting these properties ready, and all the problems that really arise that you just have to navigate. And it happens on every property. And you can't really apologize about it and say it's not going to be there. Those people that are going through it, it is, it happens. And sometimes we, you know, as we're going through with our white glove clients, we're saying, hey, listen, you know, this is, they're like, what's going on? Like, this is like crazy. Or if you're going through it by yourself and we're just in your corner in Bodicea and you're like, something like is off on this property. Like this, maybe it's a sign that I shouldn't buy this because there's too many issues that are arising. And we're like, no, this is normal. Like issues are expected. You're going to solve them and everything is going to be great at the end, but there are going to be a lot of issues during that setup phase. And I don't think a lot of people are prepared for that. And so they ultimately avoid it. And they buy a property like, well, it's already furnished. I'll just throw it up there. It's furnished, but you're losing 50 grand a year. If that's okay, buy it and do it. But you know, we have to create these, our opportunities right now, and create the investment, you know, to be a top property. And if we're not creating that, it's not going to work. And to create that, though, it's a painful process. And I don't know any other way to say it other than you've got to roll up your sleeves and be ready for the pain for a 3 to 4 month period. And you can have less pain by having somebody else with you the whole time. But regardless, it's still painful. Right. So, Josh, I'm going to go to you first on the project management side of it, kind of some of that. And then, Mike, we're going to wrap it up with you when we dive in, because I know that you will. You'll be more long-winded, and so I'm going to put the long. You know, there's you have a lot of this. You know, you're a big part of that setup, so it'll be.
You could run this clock back to right. to the zero.
I know. We could take the whole hour on this, but it's important though because we haven't talked about it for a while. And yeah. I always say, with our podcast, we want people walking into this with their eyes wide open, and I don't think a lot of people that have not done it before realize how difficult each one of these setups are. Again, it's short-lived and it's like a sprint, a long sprint. But when you're done and now you're set up and you're operational. And so I think it's well worth running that race, but it's something you got to be prepared for. So Josh, let's dive into kind of just all of the moving pieces, all the different people that you have to talk to, all the things you have to align, you know, timeline wise, everything else that that an owner needs to be thinking about, because most people are doing this themselves.
You know, they winding back to the tax piece, right? A big piece we talk about with people on the front end is like, you're looking at this cherry on top. I'm going to get $100,000 back on this property. That sounds amazing. If that property is so just a regular property, it's turnkey, I don't have to do anything, and you don't do anything and you start losing $2,000 to $3,000 a month on that property, yeah. That $100,000 is getting smaller every single day, and you can only do that one time. And now you are married to that property for the next 30 years, or you're getting back out of it. There's a recapture, there's all kinds of other nuances there that the social media taglines don't tell you about, right? And you get to the setup phase, right? Nobody climbs halfway up Everest and says, well, this is good enough, I'm going to go back home now. You either make it to the top, and it is a lot of work and it is really hard. And when you get to the top, you're one of the very few people on the planet that have ever gotten there. And it's the same way in any business, and especially in this game. You got to know everything from pest control to maintenance to landscaping. You need to understand like the seasonality, your nuances. I'm putting a pool in and I'm in the mountains. Great. When does that stop happening? Right? When does it get too cold for your vendors to get up there? Oh, I'm going to get this vendor from far away who's way cheaper than this guy who's in town. The guy in town knows how hard it is to get that thing up the mountain, right? We have a property right now. Basically, we're not allowed to use the water source there at the property to fill the pool up. Where do I get 20,000 gallons of water from? We have a solution, right? Did you think about that? Or did you find out the day when you go to turn the water hose on, you can't do it, right? And did you know that on the front end? there's a thousand different moving pieces there. When we kind of act in that project manager, owner, rep side, we've gone through it multiple times, countless times, and we're able to kind of, there's going to be nuances. Every property is going to be unique, but there's going to be certain things that have to happen. We have another build going on where there's termite bait stations, right? Those are going to be removed. That means that exterminator has to come back out once this exterior piece is done and put those bait stations back in place. Did somebody think about that? Right. And those little nuances there, you get to the beat towards the finish line. You're looking at the top of Everest, but you're not watching where your feet are going. Right. And that's where you fall into a hole. You have an issue. Those pieces there. I mean, it is a grind, but it is a short lived grind. If you do everything you need to do on the front end and you put the work in, guess what? Things get easy at the top. Right. It was, I'm able to look at the view. I've got the view that nobody else has. I'm at the top of the market and now I'm able to really have success. And even with the tax piece, that cherry on top is a lot more delicious when the ice cream sundae on it underneath it is it melting. Right. And so we want to look at saying, hey, I need to get a deal with the finish line. It's not going to be an easy process. I remember setting up the first property we have and Mike was kind of like a hybrid designer for us. Right. The artwork's there. Right. I've got a guest coming in a couple hours. My very first guest. The last thing I'm doing is I'm putting my couch sectional together. That sectional had been sitting in my garage for about a month and a half. I never opened it. I opened it up. There's a blue piece of a sectional and a gray piece of a sectional. They sent me the wrong color. Right. And I've got a guest coming in a couple hours. Right. What do? I deal with the guest. I get the sectional there. Well, the guest is gone the very next day. I come back. I swap that sectional back out. Right. And there's things you're going to hit bumps in the road. However you want to say it, whatever sports coach you want, it's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get back up. Right. Grind through it. Get to the finish line. And you will be appreciative when you're standing on the top of that summit because you've done something that very, very few people
Mike, you know that all too well. Right. And we talked about this last night on the phone. We're like, we go through this process and we're like, thank goodness. Like it's already hard for the clients of what they actually know. Some of the stuff that they don't ever know or don't ever hear about that gets just taken care of, that we don't like go to them and say, like, then this is specifically on the design side, the furnishing side, are your art, accessories, furniture, case goods, all that stuff, really furnishing the property is what you're really dealing with. Is there are so many of those sofas that show up, the wrong color or double, like a gray piece and a blue piece, like Josh just mentioned, that people don't even know that we have to, you and your team specifically have to just deal with and fix. They're not one-off situations because there's so many things going on. It's a small percentage of the things that are happening on a property that are going to not go right or correct. But because there's so many things going on, there's going to be a few of those on every single project, right? And they all feel like
it's impossible not to.
Yeah, it just has to happen. And owners, when they hear about it, like that's why we try to guard them against some of it. Just go fix it, right? How many times we talk, hey, what do we do? Just go take care of it. Just go take care of it. Put it in. They don't need to know. We'll tell them afterwards so they're not stressed out right now because we know and we're used to fixing those things. But an owner that buys one property, maybe it's their first property, they've never done a setup. Maybe it's their second or third, and they're 2 or 3 years apart on each of them, and they're like, okay, yeah, I forgot about how hard that race was when I ran it, and I forgot about all the issues I had then, or they thought it was a one-off and it happens again. And they're like, okay, what's going on here? Right. It's like you said, it's impossible to avoid and you have to be prepared for it because I promise you all of those really top properties you look at that like Josh's analogy of saying they made it to the summit of Everest, that climb to the top of Everest was not easy. And there were issues every single one of them. I look at a lot of those properties, whether they're Vodacy properties or other competing properties that have made it to the top of Everest. And I know the effort, the money, the time, the pain, and everything else that went into that to get there. And I admire them for it. And I think they get rewarded handsomely by the consumer. And it turns into be an amazing investment. But I look at it and say, when I see those types of properties and I meet the owners, I'm like, hey, congrats. I mean, I know what you did to get here. I know how hard it was because it's never easy, right? And you guys see that on, multiple properties a week that you're just constantly dealing with stuff.
Every week, if there's the number one piece of advice that I can give anyone is try to detach emotionally from the situation. It's the emotions while going through this that tend to lead to the biggest problem. You know, there's all kinds of statistics about how marriages, how many of them fail while building a custom home, right? It's the idea of your dream home. And you're building it as a couple and you're going to live there. And then you're divorced by the time it's over. It's an enormous number of people that go through that because it gets emotional, right? A hotel doesn't get emotional when someone shatters a window or a mirror or a painting, or it's just like, let's just get maintenance in here and swap it out, right? It's a non-emotional, non-empathetic circumstance. The danger in the short-term rental game, especially if you're new to it, is thinking of this house as yours. Okay. You're building this for other people to come and use it, no different than a hotel is. So you have to think of this all as, yes, I want to design it and make it in a way that I enjoy it, but I'm not going to get upset about it when someone comes in and destroys it or does who knows what in these places, right? I mean, I got stories of pornos being filmed and things. I got stories of crazy house parties. I got stories of we brought our 25 service animals and cats. You know, it's like so much wild stuff happens at these. At the moment you open this up to the public, it's not yours. It's yours, but it's not yours, okay? So get unemotional about it. The simple reality is when we first started working with Vodacy, we only did consultation years and years ago, and everything was DIY. We would design it, set it up, hand it off. Clients would call us and say, oh my gosh, Mike, it was just the worst. I need, we're doing another one. Can you guys help us? And we used to be the second largest model home company in the country, installing models all over. We have systems for this, this, that, and the other. We just weren't doing it inside of Vodacy. So we decided, me and you, hey, let's start helping some people out. And you remember, it's like 6 years ago when we started doing installs, I was so, you and I were begrudgingly going to do like, oh God, you know, the problem, you know, the headaches, like I just, you're going to get phone calls. I'm like, we're going to start making enemies, frenemies inside of the Vodacy community, because we're going to move away from a community of education and support to a community of devastation and needing support,
right?
Emotionally. Right. And, then we started doing turnkeys where it was just like, all right, we'll do it all for you. We'll get in the line of fire. We'll manage it. You know, if you think about how many SKUs go into a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, it's literally 500 to 1,000 SKUs. Let's say you order them all from Amazon. Well, that's not Amazon the store. It's Amazon the organizer of 1,000 stores that are sending all their products in. They, like Josh said, put the wrong piece with the wrong piece. It shows up. If you're emotional about that, you're like, what are we going to do? Well, you're just going to solve it, right? The wrong napkins show up. The wrong napkin, this, that. This shows up broken. It's missing a screw. It was made in somewhere in China and was missing a part when it came in there. Or the wrong, something got missed because you got 495 things, but you missed the 496th thing. And you're like, ah, crap. You're going to Home Depot and Lowe's 500 times. You're making dumpers. Like, it's like you thought you got what you needed, but then you realized you needed another thing. You got the wrong bit. You didn't get it long enough, right? It's like, there's so many permutations of the things that need to happen. But it's expensive, right? It's expensive to hire someone to do all of that for you, to manage all those headaches for you, set up all the receiving, set up all the delivery, set up all the assembly, solve all the problems. It's expensive. So we came up with the bright idea. Let's come up with a hybrid way of doing this. Let's let the client who needs their hours and all this get on the front end, start receiving all the stuff, do the base setup. And then our team will come in and do the really finesse work, hanging the drapes, the TVs, the art, making it really finished. Disaster. Okay. We cut this off as fast as we could because we thought, you know, we were trying to help like make it like it's the DIY-ish where you're doing enough, and then you're getting out of the way. Used to be when we were doing full turnkeys, we would show up, do our thing. Clients would come in. It would be tears of joy. There would be satisfaction. It would be like, oh, I can't believe I own this, right? When we started doing this hybrid thing, our clients would call us at the end of like their portion of it and go, I never want to see this place again. Get in, do your thing. I'm over it. I didn't sign up for this. Never doing this again. And like our marriage barely survived, you know, because the moment we started letting people back in behind the curtain of all the things going wrong, that always, it's like you wake up every day and there's 10 problems to solve. Right. Even from I bought a house that was turnkey, but half of it was garbage. So we had to remove it. And then while removing it, they jacked up all the walls. Now I got to repaint. Now I got to repair. Oh, no, we forgot that we turned that the previous owner turned off pest control. And now I got rats living in the attic. And then we got to turn that back on again. It's like there's so many things like that, as Josh was pointing out, for the management side. And that's before you even get to the fulfillment execution design side, right? So we did away with the hybrid thing, even though it saved a lot of money because you were in there doing it. It doesn't save anything, because opportunity cost has value. When you're flying in all your friends and family and you're feeding them all for a week or two or three or four, that's expensive. When you're not doing your job because you're doing this job and this isn't your job, that's expensive. When you do it on your own, if you get emotional, you're going to fail. If you're doing it on your own and you're not prepared to spend money bringing people to help you in and get it done, you're going to never get it done. It's like living in a house while you finish it. You never finish, right? The reason that what we do works is because we're on finite deadlines with a number of people to get in. And it's kind of like when you watch the old episodes of Extreme Home Makeover, they always got it done in 7 days. Why? Because they always brought in a gajillion people. It's like ants swarming a property. But do you think that was cheap? No. Do you remember all the problems that they came into in that show that they had to overcome, right? The thing that I try to remind people when we're doing an install or when we're doing a white glove or something is, we're compressing all of the timelines that can take months for a normal person and thousands of man hours for groups of people into one condensed micro glimpse of time where all of the problems feel overwhelming because it's all hitting everywhere all at once at one time. It's kind of like I got this vein procedure on my leg and they wanted to do it over 5 surgeries. And I said, I don't have time for that. So I did all 5 things at once. And then my leg hurt like a mother trucker for the next like month and still does and then I went back and I was like, something's wrong. They're like, no, nothing's wrong. You just pissed off your leg to a level that is 5 times what we wanted to do. And you've got 5 times the pain because you're doing it all in one condensed period of time. That's what an install on a schedule looks like. Pain condensed all at one time. And if you throw emotion into the middle of that, you start to do what you said, Sean. Maybe this is a sign from the universe or from the heavens that I made a mistake. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. Maybe this is the bad property. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I hired the wrong people. Maybe I've got the wrong. And all of a sudden you're looking at it in a negative spiral instead of just waking up every day, getting your sword and your shield going, I'm here to solve all of these things that are going to go wrong today with a happy face and a positive attitude. Remember that this is supposed to be fun and this is supposed to make money. And this is supposed to, like, I'm operating in the top of the world. I'm climbing Everest. I'm getting to the top. And when I'm done, I'm going to do something that only like a million people out of several billion have ever achieved, and then get to the top of that by having an incredible thing. So I'm always trying to remind people, I'm playing family counselor all the time, just like both of you are with couples, siblings, partners, like it's gonna be okay. This is normal. And when all these things go wrong, it doesn't mean that the people doing the jobs suck. On the contrary, the ability to navigate them with a positive attitude, get them done within that compressed timeline, is what makes those people doing it actually incredible.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel that way. when you're going through it. And I can't tell you how many people did DIYs, and we are welcome DIYs. We love pushing people to DIYs because it's less people we have to actually go and install. Because believe it or not, even though we do it hundreds of times, we don't even like doing it. It's just like what we have to do to execute what we do, right? At the highest level. But it's part of the job. I always say, if you're in a job and you love 80% of it and hate 20% of it, you're doing a job that you can do for the rest of your life. Installations fall into the 20% with accounting and taxes. That's what installation feels like to me. Yeah. Okay. But it's something, and you're talking to someone that's done thousands of them.
Yeah.
And I still hate it, but we're very, very good at it. But I still hate it. Everyone on my team hates it. If I could find a way to eliminate it, we would. Right. So
there's your pep talk.
There's no way around it.
Yeah. We're just hyping you up to get started on this process. Right. We always joke,
but pain is temporary.
Exactly.
This is a temporary condition, not a permanent thing. But when you're not emotional, you remember this is temporary.
Yeah.
This is a means to an end, like getting a surgery so that you have a quality of life at the end of it. This is like a procedure, not a permanent.
Yeah.
Is I try to remind people as well.
But we always, and this is the reality. This is what it takes. You need to be prepared for this if you want to operate and at the top of these markets, because there's people like us who are. And if you don't, you won't compete. Right. And so it is
correct.
It's very important to understand what you're walking into. I mean, we just had in our local area, there was a marathon that just went over this weekend. I'm like, look how many people are running this marathon. Like, no, I don't know that many people who like to run. And at the end of it, like during it, you see them. I'm like, what? They're running by our house and in this farm area, and they look like they're about ready to die. Nobody has a smile on their face. It's not fun. But then we saw the finish line at the, you know, there was the county fair that weekend, and they were finish line. It was at the county fair, and we went and they got done. And that sense of accomplishment and the sense of, hey, I just did something really hard that not a lot of people do. And people are like crying and they're so proud of themselves and they're so happy. That's mm-hmm. like, understand that this part of the process of investing and setting these properties up, there's going to be a point where, one, you're going to be really proud of yourself for going through and climbing that mountain, right? Because most people won't. Second, when it starts performing and actually performing at where you set it up to perform now, which is at the very top, and it becomes an amazing
feels event, real good.
You forget really fast all of those blisters that you got and all those nights that you just wanted to give up and throw your hands in the air. And so it feels really good. I always say, and we don't do this, but I always wish everybody would do a DIY first and then hire somebody else, because then you don't
question. I always say that, Sean. Yeah. I say do it once.
Yeah, do it once yourself. First, right?
And then you'll have so much grace like, even for just us with
guidance,
in the future.
Like, still have guidance, yeah. But you go project manage it yourself once and then hire somebody to do the project management for you on more of a turnkey or a white glove or something like that, where somebody else is doing it for you. You're in the process and you're like, oh yeah, this is way better, right? But the first time you do it, you're like, did I hire the right people? Are they doing the right thing? And we're like, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, I always tell you, Mike, I mean, we have to make sure that people are heard and understood as our clients. Josh, you hear this all the time. I'm like, when they're frustrated, make sure they're heard and understood, because we know at the end, we can't just rely on the fact that we know at the end when it performs really well and they're going to be like, yeah, this was awesome. You guys did a great job. During it, they still have to make sure that it's okay. This is normal. This is why we talk about this stuff, even on the podcast. And so we will, we're going to wrap up today. This has been a good conversation. I want people walking into this game with their eyes wide open, understanding what it takes to set these properties up. But also, you know, I'm not promising you it's going to be easy. And anybody that does, you should probably turn around and walk away and say, nice to meet you. And I'm going to go talk to somebody else that's going to tell me the reality of the situation. Because as many times as we've done it, as, you know, thousands of properties now later in the Vodacy portfolio we've got processes, we've got blueprints, we've got recipes we follow, which makes it easier than going reinventing the wheel, but there's always issues and it's still hard and it still takes an enormous effort to get these properties to operate at the top of the market. So we're gonna wrap it up. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you listening to us that are listening in and spending your time with us. It's always appreciated. We know it's very valuable. If you have more than 30 seconds, like or review or whatever platform you're watching or listening on. If you have those questions, send them in to support@vodacy.com. We'll get them answered on an upcoming episode. And if you got some amazing properties you want some shout outs on and some exposure, send us over. And or if you even have one a property audited and you're saying, hey, Sean, what you talk about all this stuff that needs to be done. And if you want us to do it on send that over and get some comments on an upcoming episode, we'd be happy to do that. Those are really fun for us to do. So we'll wrap it up. Final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, guys, pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, boys.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.